So here we are. Truth often hurts, but it is the lie that leaves a scar. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. Truth often hurts, but it's the lie that leaves a scar. We all think, I don't tell lies. I never tell lies. I don't tell lies. Well, unfortunately, you do. You tell lies of omission and lies of commission. You tell lies when you say you don't remember saying something, and you tell lies when you say something that nobody remembers you saying. And we have to be very careful. We have to be very careful of the things that we do and the things that we say. Now, the biggest lie that we have to fight or work with or struggle with is the lie that says that we are making promises and we don't keep them. If you make a promise and you don't keep it, you are lying strong, heavy-duty lies, and lies that are going to get you into a lot of trouble. You say, well, I just told my son I would take him to the show, and then I had something else come up and I couldn't do it, so I didn't do it. Well, what a lie. What a lie. You are training your child to be a liar, because whatever daddy does, he can do. That lie is so heinous, so terrible, so mean, so unacceptable, because it is not only you that's lying. It's that you're training your child that that's okay to lie. And if we train our children it's okay to lie, why not have lying be the protocol, the normal way of doing things, you know? Why not have lying be the acceptable way of doing things? And can you ever lie? No, you never can lie. Because the moment you lie, then you're in trouble. And when you lie, all things are going to go right against you. You know that. So keep your mind clear at all times of lying. Now, what's the best way not to lie? Truth. Speak loud so I can hear you.
To say the truth.
Yeah, that would be true. But the best way not to lie is not to make promises. You see, promises are the biggest lies that we have, and we do them constantly. We say, well, I'll wash my hands before I sit down at the table because I've been playing with the dog, you know, as though there's something wrong with the dog, you know. But you wash your hands not because you've been playing with the dog, but because the dog has been playing in the dirt and you've been petting the dog, and so you're getting all that dirt on your hands, and you don't want dirt on your hands while you eat. It has nothing to do with petting the dog. You got your hands dirty. And so you're going to wash your hands because you want to have them clean when you're eating your meal. Now, you say, well, I'm going to wash my hands because I got them dirty. And so somebody says, hey, come on, did you see this here? My goodness sake, come on. And you get in a conversation, you forget about washing your hands. And you sit at the table and you don't wash your hands. And then all of a sudden you're eating and your hands are facing you and you say, oh my God, I forgot to wash my hands. Look at those filthy hands, you say to yourself. No. And you lied. You said you were going to wash your hands before you came to the table. And, you know, this was not a meanness lie. It was just a lie of ignorance. No, there's no ignorance, is there? It's just a lie of not fulfillment. No, that's not it either.
Being not truthful.
It's a lie of you absolutely not doing what you agreed to do. Now, many of us lie because someone says, will you come help me? And you say, yes, just a minute. 5 minutes later we come. Or maybe a half a second later we come. That's a lie. We say, well, Herb, that is idiotic. No, it isn't. Everything that we say which is not consistent with truth is a lie. Now, truth, all you have to say is, I'll be by in a minute. You see, a minute. I'll be by in a bit. Just hold it. I'll be right there as quickly as I can. Right there as quick as I can. And you see, don't create people asking you to do things. Don't create people needing to have you come to be with them instantaneously. Certainly, the prince here Douglas was in there straightening out the cabinet in Sylvia's bedroom, and he says, "It doesn't work, it doesn't work." And I said, "Do this, you know, do that, do this, do that." And he says, "Give me a hand." And so he did it himself, actually. But he lifted it up, straightened it up, and he said, "My God, look at that. Where before there was no space to do it, now we had all the space in the world to do it." Why was it so? Because I made him stop and think. I made him try it from a different angle. And when he tried it from a different angle, he says, "My gosh." You see, we're so used to doing it my way, or our way, or a way, that we miss the opportunity to look at it from another point of view, be objective about it. And when we're not objective about things, then we start lying. Now, the first lie he said was, "It will not fit. It will not fit in that room. It will not go up in that room." Lying, lying, lying. You know, there's no way you can put it in that room. It just won't fit. Because, just look, Herb, see here? It just won't do it. And I said, "Yeah, that arc is pretty definite. It hits the ceiling before it hits the floor, you know. And it won't work, it won't work." You see, that's a lie. And all of the power of his mind he put in that lie. You see, well, he was sincere. Yeah, we oftentimes are sincere in our stupidity, you know. If he had said, "Herb, I have tried all the ways I can figure out. Have you got a suggestion?" But he didn't do that. He said, "Herb, come give me a hand," because he knew it wouldn't work, and he wanted me to see that it didn't work, and that I had had him bring something in that wasn't going to work, and that was kind of stupid to bring it in because it didn't work, you know. And so he was just trying to pull my chain. And he didn't realize that I've had my chain pulled by experts, by real experts, by experts who are expert experts, like angel experts, you know. And it never worked. And the reason that it never worked was, if anybody ever says to me something doesn't work, I'll show you a way that it'll work. Not because I'm so brilliant, but because I will not accept the idea that something doesn't work, you know. It's got to work. And so I just said, "Okay, let's see. Yeah, sure, we'll try it this way, do that, you know." And functionally it does. And if you say it doesn't work, you're lying, because if somebody else can make it work, then it does work. And we have to be very, very careful. Now, if he wants to get that cabinet in the room and his way didn't work, what would be another way for him to do it? Take it apart and put it together in place, right? Right? Yeah. Yeah. And that would be very easy. But the thing is, he wasn't about to use his energy that way. But you see, I told him, again, blaming you nicely, I told him, he says, "It won't fit because the plug is there, and we don't want to block the plug." And I said, "Take the little slot off the wall that holds the little newspaper clippings and stuff like that, and then move it over right next to the light switch, and you'll have plenty of room for all plugs to fit on the outside. Plus, she can have a big chair in there for lounging or whatever she wants to do, and it'll all fit perfectly." He said, "Well, I got the lamp in there." I said, "I didn't ask you to put the lamp in there." He said, "Well, I got the chair in there." "I didn't ask you to put the chair in there. I asked you..." Well, then I must learn a lesson by that. She asked you to do things after I had asked you to do things, and whatever she says is priority. No matter what I say, it is not priority, because she's the boss. And so if I tell you anything ever, and she comes up with something after that, then it's whatever it is after that you follow. Make sense? It makes sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So, you see, you were right, even while you were wrong. Isn't that nice to be right, even while you're wrong? But you're welcome. You guys, too. It's so easy for you to pretend you don't remember. Like, I say to you, I would like to have you sitting here enjoying my talks each day, and I would like to have you interact with my talks. Now, all is in divine order. 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 Now, what are you going to say?
No.
I say, Ingeborg, how are things? And she says, oh, this is just perfect. I'm very happy. No, Ingeborg, how are things? Well, just fine. But Ingeborg, how are things? All is in divine order. It could be Dell. And so that would be very nice to let him in the gate, wouldn't it? So that's... Alan, go answer the phone. It's too late now. You should always keep the phone by you. You do here. And you could have done it. Hello? 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 There's nothing there. You see, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. And then when I'm giving my talk, you say, well, Herb, why did you just digress on the telephone there for a minute? Just to see if you were listening. Now, and then I say, Ingeborg, how are you feeling today? How are things going with you? She says, oh, I'm feeling very fine. Ingeborg, how's everything going today? Oh, everything's going just fine, thank you. Ingeborg, I've been saying all is in divine order, all is in divine order, all is in divine order, because I want you to say all is in divine order as my shrill, you know, as my person who is feeding back what I want you to feed back, so that our listeners will say, oh, everyone's got the message, you know. Ellen, how are you today?
All is in divine order.
Sylvia, how are you today?
All is in divine order.
Douglas, how are you today?
All is in divine order.
Ingeborg.
All is in divine order.
You got to put that special oomph in there. Wonderful. Yes, all is in divine order. And that is exactly what I like to get from you. And sometimes I even mouth it for you so that you can see, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. You know? And that's important. Now, when you're raising children and you're having the child fall down and scratch himself, and then the kid comes to you and you kiss him and you say, oh, so all's in divine order, and he runs off and play. If you don't do this often enough, you say, well, how is it, son? Mom, it hurts. No, all is in divine order. Oh, that. Yeah, okay, all is in divine order, but it hurts, you know. And so then you work with him and do whatever needs to be done. But when children learn by association, when children learn by experience working with you on these things, all is in divine order, you'll see that they will say all is in divine order instantly when they fall down, and then when they get up, they will have no problems. Now, what has that got to do with lying? Well, you are lying when you don't say all is in divine order. Because your divine reality is in divine order. Your reality is in divine order. If you say, I hurt, that's a lie. If you say, I broke my leg, that's a lie. Because I broke my... You mean you did something to create your leg to break? You took a hammer and hit your leg and broke it, you know? Now, you may have a broken leg, but you didn't break your leg. You don't own a broken leg, but you may have a broken leg. You may have an appearance on your body that is temporary, but it's not your reality. Just remember what I said the other day. Remember it, remember it, remember it. These monks, these gurus, these hermits, these people who sit in their cave all day long and think their beautiful thoughts and think their beautiful way of looking at life and, you know, get along just fine. You go and look at them and their skin looks just like that of a baby's. Why? Because they're not saying their other prayers all the time. They're saying certain prayers. I live in my eternally perfect ideal spirit, mind, and body. My baby's face is just like my skin. My skin is just like a baby's. You know? My skin is just like a baby. And as people say these things, they come. I would recommend to myself and everybody else in this world that if we could live without paying attention to our body would function perfectly. Because it does know its divine pattern, it does know its divine direction, it does know what is highest and best for it. But we get our bloated nothingness in the way of the divine circuits, and then we mess it up. So if we say every organ, action, function of my body is perfect, and leave it alone, so it'll be. Everything we do, but we lie and we say it's not perfect. We lie and we say, I got problems. We lie and do you want problems? You want perfection. So start speaking the truth. I like me, I like me, I like me. I'm whole and perfect. Everything is in divine order. I'm fantastic. Make sense, Ingeborg?
Yes, it makes sense. All is in divine order.
Ingeborg, you learn so fast. I'm delighted. I mean, you're just a magical girl. I like it. And Sylvia, it is so nice to have you home again. We have missed you, and we know that it's going to continue in the perfect balance that you went away with and that you came home with. Mm-hmm. And thank you. And Douglas, it's great having you here. It'll be nice to have you as permanent as possible as soon as possible. So we're looking forward to that. And Ellen, got to put up with you. You're here. No, Ellen, you're a golden treasure that anyone would be proud to have as their dearest friend.
Oh, thank you.
So, I love you, I love you, I love you.
Love you.
Love you. Love you.